You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Reasonable people usually run from danger, but journalists often want to get to the front of the front lines. Daniela Mastrogiacomo was working as a reporter for the Italian newspaper La Repubblica in Afghanistan when he, his driver, and his translator were captured and held hostage by the Taliban. Daniela was released, but his fellow hostages, Syed Agha and Ajmal Naqshbandi, were brutally murdered. Daniela has detailed his compelling story in Days of Fear, a first-hand account of captivity under the new Taliban. It's published by Europa, and I'm very pleased to welcome Daniela Mastrogiacomo to our show today. Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
It's been a little more than 3 years since your capture and release by the Taliban in Afghanistan. How are you doing?
Now, well, but it was not easy because you can imagine to... for 2 years to follow with my nightmare and the spirit, obviously, for my friend. They are killed, so...
Well, the experience is obviously terrifying. Do reporters ever suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yes, I try to describe, I think, the best reasons that I wrote this book. It was obviously to write is my job. I am a journalist, so to write what happens. And so to know to all the person who lives this story, not only in Italy, but I imagine all the world, because you can consider the 90,000 person seeing our petition for our freedom. And so I think it would be honest for them to write also the rest of the party, what happens exactly there.
Well, let's go back to 2007. What were you doing in Afghanistan? Had you gone there on assignment, or had you volunteered?
No. I work as the last 10 years, I work in La Repubblica in foreign affairs. So normally when you are a special international correspondent, you are obliged to cover the story. You consider the last 8, 10 years as the two main arguments in the world were the war, the two big war in Iraq, in Afghanistan. So we cover also as La Repubblica with other newspaper, big newspaper, also international newspaper, Baghdad and Kabul. And we remain each time 2 months or more, one time in Baghdad, another time in Kabul. And in 2007, I decided to come back in Afghanistan because I suspect there was some signal about the fact that starting to some blast with Sisson bombers. And Sisson bombers is very unusual for Afghan tradition. And so I call my historic stringer, fixer, it was Ajmal Naqshbandi, and I asked him if the situation in Afghanistan was changing. And he answered me yes, and I have been a lot of contact with the Taliban. And he told me that in 2005 the Taliban was open to European journalists, international journalists, or foreign journalists in general. And the same military commanders that we asked to organize an interview, Mullah Mohammed Dadullah, was a commander of Helmand Province. The Helmand Province is a historical land of Taliban in the south, in the mainland where the poppy cultivation. So also actually, the same General McChrystal say, if we're right to resolve Helmand problem, we try to resolve Afghan problem. So we decide to go there. We organize all the contacts, obviously all the authorization with the spokesman of Taliban, and they upset and they give us a meeting in near Lashkargah, is the main city of Helmand provinces. We fly to Kandahar. We meet our drivers, his best driver in the south of Afghanistan, is Syed Agha.
Did you know him? You knew Ajmal?
No, it was his first time, but Ajmal knew him very well.
Now, the Italian military has a presence in Afghanistan. Are they in Helmand or are they another part of the country?
No, they stay just in little north, also in west, north, in the Farah provinces near Herat. Herat, you know, is a main city of the west part of Afghanistan, but it's near the trouble. But they stay in a troubled area also.
Well, it's impossible to get around without a driver and a translator.
Yeah.
So you really have to work as a team.
Yeah. We work a team. Ashmal, I know Ashmal since 5 years before. So with him, we cover a lot of story in Afghanistan. He was a very good journalist. And we drive together. All three, and we arrive after 60 miles. It's a main road, but very, very, very good road from Kandahar to Lashkargah. We remain there a few hours, and the time to connect with the other person. And from there, we leave Lashkargah for 5-6 miles, no more. We enter in a territory outside Lashkargah, and we don't lost, but we follow one road, and after we go to the appointment, it's not so easy. It's not like New York or Rome to take a meeting with some Talibans. Now you can imagine in the front line. So it was a situation very delicate.
Well, how long had you even been in Afghanistan? Had you gone there for this meeting?
No, normally we cover also the north, also the other parts, and normally we stay in Kabul. But we decide to go in the south because the same commandant released many interviews the week before to also American, English, Spanish, French, German journalists. So I think it was exactly the moment.
Now
something changed because I think the same day that you arrived there, starting also the big operation against the insurgents. And so I think it's changing probably the attitude of Taliban.
Well, you call it the Taliban, the new Taliban, in your subtitle here. Some journalists have an agreement with their editors or colleagues that they check in at a certain time every day or send a certain code in an email message just to let them know they're safe. Did you have any kind of agreement like that?
No, normally...
So yes. Nobody would know that you were captured?
Yes, obviously. Obviously, we have no time, because you can imagine, when we arrived, we were surrounded immediately, and they're arriving with Kalashnikov AK-47, and they look at us like with strange eyes, they say, what are you doing here? And we say, okay, we are here, we are journalists, we do nothing. And after that, they hopped from the car, and they're knocking me, and they say, no, you indicate me. It was very sure that you're spying. So I suppose some voice maybe, no? Some voice arriving and say, okay, three journalists arriving in reality are not journalists but spying. And we insist we are without a weapon, with nothing. You can't investigate about us. As they try to investigate, as they starting to investigate for the first week, and they say, okay, no, we are convinced you're a spy.
They're convinced you're spies, even though they could go on the internet and check out your name.
Exactly.
By the way, did they know at the start that you were an Italian?
Yes.
And you showed them La Repubblica's your press card?
Yes, all. And they say, no, because you can imagine when they get us all. So I say, you have my documents, you have all. And also check on the internet and Google or Yahoo, and you find my name. You discover you have nothing to we are really very clear.
Did they identify themselves as members of the Taliban?
Yes, they say they don't talk a lot of, and they say, okay, we are convinced you are a spy, a British spy. So there was so sure, obviously, it's a Britain forces stay core, the Helmand provinces, so it was normal. But I think they were so sure, at the same time, surprised. And so they say they were very, very full of suspects. And Ashmal tried to convince them. They say, okay, we have a meeting, man. They want,
well, whatever happened to the meeting? Did you find out whether anybody had ever planned to really meet with you?
Yes, I think yes, it was, but it's a change idea. I think yes, the meeting was, you know, after me, I think it's typical from Taliban. There are lies people, and they decide to change because probably it's not for money, it's depend maybe for exchange prisoners. Somebody, you know, they look in the foreign journalists and they say, okay, it's a good target, so we bring. We decide, okay, so he's a tramp, as you call this.
Were you all held together?
Yes. Just one day, I think I remember, for 24 hours, as they took Sayed, he disappeared with him, and after he came back, I don't know, I can imagine, try to ask him something, and for this reason, maybe, and after 2 days...
Not torture him, or did they torture him?
I asked him, because my English, you can see them also, he doesn't speak English, so they don't want to speak each other, so I asked him, I tried to say, indicate me, yes, they beat him, so... I can imagine torture, it obeying. But it was when before to I remember even before to die, he asked me, he was not full of fear. He say, "Yo, Daniele, you can please help me to rebuy our car, because they take our car, for me is important because it's my job." They go, "No, don't worry, come on." Obviously, yeah, when we go back in Kabul. And after 2 hours, they kill him. So you can imagine his vision. I think he was totally outside. Because
so they killed him while you were still in captivity.
They killed us. They killed him as a first because
they beheaded him.
Yes, in front of us.
Beheading because you think it's more dramatic than shooting him or doing something.
Probably
else?
They want because they put they blind off me, Ajmal, him. We go to take him to shoot a movie. As I say, no, we go along the river, we shot a movie, so it's very quiet, no problem. For this reason, you cannot trust with them because they are liars. And they say, okay, we go there, don't worry. We remain 2 hours after arrives as a big commander, we saw the two commander. They brought something in a little hill, as a console that assembles. And after they're arriving, they put our three in the middle of this land with Blainford and all, and they say they condemn us to the death for spying.
Now, do you have any sense that they were trying to sell you or that they were trying to get a ransom for you?
No, I think they don't pay the ransom. They pay, obviously, they pay is official. It was a change of prisoners, so... Five prisoners. In this moment, we cannot imagine nothing because you hope somebody negotiates for you, but you stay with this man alone with them. So we have to negotiate yourself with them for your life.
Now they beheaded him, yes. And all he was a driver. Do you think they were making him an example? In other words, don't. Cooperate with foreigners, so because if you do, we will. You're very likely to be killed.
I think something about this. Yes, I think they consider him as responsible. The fact that he transports housing in this land because they consider Helmand provinces like emirate of Afghanistan. So they say at the beginning they started saying no because I say, okay, you're kidnapping us. We are not soldiers, we are journalists, come on. And they say no, we arrest you because you entry illegally in our territory. And so I think there was because it was surprise also.
Do you think that they also planned to behead Ajmal? They had to keep him alive for a while because he was the only way they could communicate with you.
Yes, what happens with Ajmal, they release us. After 5 days of behavior of Sayed Aga, our driver, me and Ajmal, we remain live. And they freed us. They say, okay, there is exchange, so you go. And we started with two different convoys. Me in one direction, he in another direction. And I suppose, because I don't know, I'm sure he arrived to the police in Lashkargah. Perhaps we decide to see. We were very happy, you can imagine, after 2 weeks with a knife. So it's very, 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 very horrifying. So we decide to see each other in Kabul. And I go to the emergency. He's a charity who negotiates for us because it's the only presence in this territory. There is nothing. There is no Afghan police. There is no soldiers. There is nobody.
Just this one NGO.
Exactly. He negotiates for us. He really, and he goes to the police. I go to the emergency. And after 2 days, I discovered he was captured again. Because the Taliban tried to capture also me the day after along the street. And decide to don't follow the main street, to go in another road. And so probably they. And I'm sure that Ashmal, he leaves the police and go alone to Kabul by bus. And they stop him because they discovered he was a near of one of the chief of intelligence for this reason. So he began a witness, very, very important, you know.
But it's interesting that they freed you after a hostage exchange and then wanted to take you hostage again.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like the best way to negotiate for the future. My guest is Daniela Mastrogiacomo. His book, Days of Fear, A First-Hand Account of Captivity Under the New Taliban. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Daniela Mastrogiacomo. His book, Days of Fear, A First-Hand Account of Captivity Under the New Taliban, which is published by Europa Editions, translated, by the way, from the Italian by Michael Reynolds. So when you were captured, you knew that Italy and the United Kingdom and the United States say that they do not negotiate with terrorists for the release of hostages.
Yes.
What did you think was likely to happen? Did you think you were going to die?
In this moment, yes, I was convinced. I can imagine what happens outside. They have no time to think what happened outside because you find yourself alone with these people. So you have to treat yourself. Your freedom, to try to remain alive. No, I discovered this obviously after, and I know very well that normally United States and Britain don't trade. But I think in reality this is not true, because in reality all the country negotiated. Mm-hmm. Somebody admits this, payment after this.
But this is normally done through a middleman rather than directly. Somebody, a deal can be struck without the United States or England or Italy or Spain, whatever, saying, we actually did it. Somebody else did it. But how are they treating you? Were you fed well? Were you given a comfortable place to sleep?
Obviously, first, I wasn't a sense of guilt enormous because I leave my two friends there. Obviously, I try to do all that I can for them. And I'm sure it was a really big mistake or a really big game, or big, like us. And so I think because it was a struggle between the two branches of Secret Service in Afghanistan, and also the big struggle inside the Shura of Taliban, is like a council of the Talibans. And Mullah Abdullah is one of these members of this council. So you can imagine, for him, free prisoners. One ranger for him inside the council is more, he take more power. And so I think we begin prisoner, hostage of a play more big like us.
Well, I would have thought that keeping you alive would have been in their best interest, because by killing you, they get nothing.
I don't know. Can you repeat, please? Yes.
That if they kill you, they can get nothing from it. But if they keep you alive, they can still use you to trade.
I think as it was convinced to kill me because they hate me. I don't know why. They say, okay, we have a lot of money because we have a puppy cultivation or nothing. And I think at the end, obviously, they was five person was released, and obviously they are all killed. As they take her again. So, but I'm sure, obviously I was the main prisoners, but in the same times they was convinced that at the end they would like to kill me, because they say, okay, if we obtain something worse, you know, we kill. Was that problem?
Now, back home, you point out, people were signing petitions. There was a lot. When they realized, how long before they even realized that you were being held captive?
After 24 hours, 36 maybe, because we used not to be a contact. Obviously, my newspaper called me and tried to contact me without contact. Also, my wife, it was very, very worried. So try, and after 31 day and a half, 36 hours, they discovered this.
And then, as you say, there was a campaign to get you released.
Yeah.
Do you think the Taliban pays much attention, or do you think that they were even getting orders from Taliban headquarters? Were they just a rogue group? Were they a small group that was doing what they do? Or do you think that they were hearing from somebody in Pakistan?
Yes, I'm sure about this. I think at the beginning, maybe it was just a little group with Dadullah. After that, the rumors, obviously, as a campaign and arrives since to Pakistan, because they're changing also, you know, the attitude, also the instrument of shooting in video. Before it was with a mobile phone, and after they're arriving, more and more technological appropriate. And I think at the end, it's arriving to the council of Quetta, yes.
So did they want to film you admitting to being a spy? Was that their hope, that you were going to say, I've been a spy?
No, sis. Just to appeal, saying what you want to do, try to say something for your release. And so I say, okay, my appeal to the government, my appeal to... Because we discussed with negotiators during the night, myself with them for all the night. We negotiated. They start saying, okay, we ask, and what do you think? We ask us to withdraw the troop. I say, no, because my government don't withdraw the troop. And after this, it's okay. We want, maybe we ask to release some of our prisoners from Guantanamo. I say, come on, Guantanamo, you know, not our authority, it's American authority, so we can't do nothing. Say, okay, we try to Bagram. Bagram is a city near where is a base, a main base with a prison. And they go, no, because it's under control of Americans, so we cannot. So we say, okay. Okay, but there is my cousin's sister. Okay, also my uncle. So it's a question of a clan, you know. They think about clan. It was not a big, luckily, because... But after that, I think it's arriving, there was some seniors arriving, more person more right, from Pakistan. And some person from Pakistan, I think, they was to control the kidnapping. But they were divided. And this is true. I don't know it's true, but when they release us... As a commander who stay with him, say, okay, you are a very lucky man, also you and Ashmal, because the Mullah Dadullah, Mullah Omar, is a big Mullah Omar, the chief of the council, decided to release you. And there is some voice, some rumors, because you can imagine, I follow the Afghan situation, who say is Mullah Omar decided also to signal exactly where Mullah Dadullah was, and so organize a... When probably denounce him, and the British forces with American forces kill him. Yes.
My guest is Daniela Mastro Giacomo. His book, Days of Fear, a firsthand account of captivity under the new Taliban. It is published by Europa. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. You describe your release as the most wonderful moment of my life, and I imagine that
yes.
It was. How did you learn that you were going to be released? Did they just say to you, okay, we're going to let you go?
No, it was not. It was very complicated. You can imagine the last 5 days, it was terrible, because they coming every time. They control more closer, and they say, okay, now, if they don't release our prisoner, you kill you. And I was convinced after the death of Ashmal, of Sayed, yes, you can imagine when you see like this, you have condemned spies. So it was really, really difficult to leave this situation. And at the end of arriving, they say, okay, we we negotiated, and you are free now, as I say. And I ask Ashmal, we were so happy. And I say, Ashmal, listen, what do you do? How? I can imagine, you know, the Hansen movie when there is a change in the bridge, change of prison. And he say, no, probably they consign us to some elders, some elders, local elders, his like guarantees. And it was this. And we cross, we waiting for 2 hours, go around with the radios, the controls. They are very organized, with radio, with satellite phone. And when the situation was ready, we cross by a little boat the river, the Helmand River. In the other side was the man, the mediator of emergencies, his charity NGO. And he bring me, he say, okay, we go.
It's interesting that these people who are so against Western technology
exactly.
Use all these cell phones and
exactly.
satellite
yes.
phones and all the rest. It seems from what you say that the Taliban has free rein in some parts of Afghanistan. They can do whatever they want. Why do you think it's been so hard for President Karzai's government to prevent them from taking over large parts of the country?
I think the Taliban is parts of Afghanistan. It has nothing to do. When we was kidnapping 2005, we 2007, we don't talk about it wasn't we not mention a negotiation or to trade with Taliban. Now they're starting again because I think it's normal because they're being involved. But you can imagine Taliban's born and lived, and the origin of Taliban is from the south. So they are Pashtun ethnic, majority ethnic of Afghanistan. So it's normal to trade with these insurgents. The problem of Karzai, I think, as he have not the control of the country. He have a form of government very, very limited to Kabul. They have a lawyer, Gorga, he's like a big assembly. Where, and so I think this is a form, traditional form of government of Afghanistan, like a Congress, our Congress. And so I think we have to involve the Taliban, but not before. Now it's important to remain on the ground.
Well,
to obtain some success, because after with a strong position, we have to trade, yes.
Well, can we even trust them to be part of a government when they free you and then try to take you back and wind up killing somebody that they free? Are they to be trusted at all?
Can you repeat, please?
To bring somebody in your government, you have
yes.
to be able to trust them. But the way they dealt with you and your release and what they did to Ajmal after the release...
Yes, for this reason, yes.
You can't trust them, can
you? Yes, no. It's impossible to trust them, Sam. For this reason, you know, because they treat, they love to say, no, we don't understand. But I discover these are people very liars. Yes,
The Committee to Protect Journalists reports 7 journalists have already been killed just this year doing their jobs. Is being a journalist getting more dangerous than it was in the past? Are they more likely to be targeted than they were in the past?
Yes, I'm convinced about this. Because we are not, you know, always some journalists, you know, during the battle, during the war is... But the fact now we are not, we are considered always neutral, like neutral person. No, now we are a target, precious tiger. And so it's very difficult to go in the ground to cover the story, to write exactly, to show exactly what is the reality. And for this reason, and so you have to take more care than before. It's more dangerous. And Our editors, obviously, they can do involve it. There's a problem with insurance. There's a problem for many, many situations. So our editor also say, no, okay, we write on the desk. It's not the case to go there. But for his information, if he's in, I think it's limited, no?
You have to be there to know what's really going on. Are you still working for La Repubblica?
Yes, yes, but I cover Africa, so it's troubled zone, but it's not. I finished after 7 years of work correspondent. It's very stressful, you know, it's very hard. So I decided to stop because it's correct.
Are you more concerned about terrorist organizations like the Taliban or what we're seeing in some countries like China where censorship is a major problem for journalists?
No. I think, I suppose, also China is a big problem for the journalists, obviously. There is many, many, many. You consider the Philippines, you consider it's Indonesia, some country of South America. Israel, I cover Israel and Palestine for many, many, many years. And if you consider in this main region, like Israel is probably... It's a freedom country because the newspaper are very, very strong against the government. So it's not for to Israel, but there is many areas of the world where it's very difficult to cover information. And the people, Mexico, consider Mexico is here. And for the drug problem, there are many journalists are killing. Mm-hmm. It's a story about drugs, yes.
In the case of Mexico, it's often the drug dealers who are killing the journalists who are trying to get the story in an odd way, like the Taliban. Yeah. You're going to be speaking at the Penn World Voices Festival here in New York this week.
Yes, I'm very happy about this.
And what
yes.
will you be discussing?
We're discussing the problem of the war. What we think about the war, what we feel, and what our relationship with the war, when we stay there, when we work. There are different writers who cover the war for many years, so it's very interesting about this.
Somebody could put together a panel of people who've been held hostage now.
Yeah.
Journalists who've been held hostage. Oh, how was your hostage?
Yes.
Well, mine was worse than yours.
Yes.
Daniela Mastrogiacomo's book is called Days of Fear, a firsthand account of captivity under the new Taliban. It's published by Europa in this country. And my great thanks to you for being on our show today.
Thank you very much, you really.